Raising the Bets is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give. You're listening to Raising the Bets. We're a Catholic couple raising five kids outside of Boston. Join us as we share the joys and challenges of marriage, homeschool, and our adventures near and far as we make sense of the world and experience the best parts of our culture. I'm Don Bettinelli.
And I'm Melanie Bettinelli.
So, Melanie, how are you doing?
I've been better.
So, you may be able to hear, although through the magic of audio editing, I'm not really that good at audio editing, but in case you can't hear it, we both are not well. We both have the plague. That's right. The Bettinellis have succumbed to the vid, COVID. And it was a kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
It did not come at the best possible time.
Does it ever come at the... I mean, is there a best possible time to get sick?
It could have been a week later when we're not going anywhere. We don't have anything planned. We're past the holidays, you know?
This is true.
In any case, so we should probably relate what happened.
We really honestly did not think that we were that sick, but Ben got, like...
He started feeling not great.
The Monday after Christmas, he started saying, you know, he felt... kind of mucusy, and he got a little bit of a cough, and he's very prone to this, so I just put it off as, like, allergies, and then when it persisted and got a little bit worse, I thought, oh, he's got a cold. And then...
Because we've had colds over the past few months. I mean, that we should point out, when you know, when we were...
And which we've tested before, and they were
colds.
They
came up negative, yep.
And then Bella started feeling under the weather. And then Lucy and Anthony started feeling under the weather. And then Dom and I started feeling kind of under the weather. Nothing really bad, like scratchy sore throat, kind of drippy nose.
In the annals of getting a cold, this one isn't even top 20. Like, this is a fairly mild.
At least for you and me.
Well, for me, you and me. Right.
Bella and Ben were hit a little bit harder. And... So, yeah, New Year's Eve, I went to the store to grab some, you know, milk.
Supplies.
And supplies. just like normal stuff. Milk stuff. And I noticed that the pharmacy actually had COVID tests, which the rapid tests, which nobody's had in our area for quite some time. And it had occurred to me to, like, maybe, like, take Ben in to get his nose swabbed. But... We discovered, looking around, that there are no appointments for tests anywhere around us for, like, at least a week, like, or 2 weeks out. They're just swamped. And so I was like, oh, well, here's rapid tests. I'll grab a package just in case. And so New Year's Day found me unwrapping my just in case and swabbing Bella's nose, and... It did not take very long for the line to appear.
We had to decide which child to test, by the way, because they all got sick at different points. And so who would be the best one to test to ensure the most accurate result? Because Ben, it might have been too long. Like, he might have.
Yeah, he'd been feeling bad for about a week. And he was starting to feel kind of better. So I thought that probably testing him. wouldn't be the most accurate. Like, he might show up negative even if he had had COVID. So,
right.
But Bella still seemed pretty symptomatic, and she's pretty game for, like, swabbing her nose. Whereas I think Ben would actually be harder to get him to cooperate too.
Right.
She's done it before. She could do it again. She was surprised. She really did not believe that she had COVID. She's had two colds in the last 6 months.
Right.
Both of which we tested Bella for one and we tested Sophie for the other, and they came up negative both times, and we're like, okay, it's just a cold. And so it was a little bit of a surprise that this was not.
Surprise. Happy New Year. So I mentioned that the timing could have been better, because this week we had two important things that we were going to be doing, and one very important thing, and one not as important, but you were due to fly to New Orleans for a wedding.
Yeah, one of my college roommates is getting married to another person who, a friend who I knew really well in college, too. So I was thrilled to be invited to their wedding, and I am really, really sad not to be going.
Right. So you were due to fly to New Orleans
on Thursday.
On Thursday. And just you were going to go alone.
I was going to go alone. I was going to stay in a really nice B&B that my roommate had recommended, that was like within walking distance of the church. And I was looking forward to taking like an extra day just to go be a tourist and sightsee around New Orleans before the wedding. And that's not happening.
I'm so sorry.
I feel so sad. I had to call the B&B and cancel my reservation today and cancel my flight reservation. And I was very sad to do it.
Yeah.
I really did not want to make that call, but I knew that it was the thing I had to do.
Now, the rest of us were due to go scout camping this weekend. It's really was supposed to be for the boys, but since you were going to be out of town, we were going, the girls and the boys. And it's at a scout camp, and it's in a cabin because it's the middle of winter. And if we were outdoors, well, no, even if we're outdoors, it wouldn't work because we tested positive.
Right.
But if we tested negative and had a cold, we might have been able to, finagle around it outdoors, but it's indoors. And it's not fair to the other families. It's not fair. So... we just can't go. It's just, flat out. The scout regulations, I don't know if it's our council or if it's national, but it's like you have to be symptom-free 14 days. And that's not going to happen. I mean, it's less than a week. So we have to give that up, too, which is frustrating because I'm the den leader for the Arrow of Light Weeblos who are due to cross over to the Boy Scout troop. And this is the get-to-know-you camping trip. So Anthony was supposed to go on for it because he's part of that den. And Ben is already in the troop. And, I haven't been there for these boys all, since September because we've been away. And I just feel like I've kind of have let them down a little bit, It's kind of frustrating, them and their parents,
And they understand. They're not like,
Right. I mean, the other adult leaders. They're probably frustrated, not at me, but just at the situation because, right. It sucks. They have to pick up the slack and do the thing. I mean, they were going to be there anyway, but it's just frustrating. And I've already had some of the parents who are a little concerned about the kids being in a cabin together all weekend. And this won't help with that, too. So
right.
I'm a little concerned that it might dissuade other parents to send their kids, which, I don't know, maybe that's justified or not, but it's frustrating. And the other thing it's going to affect is Lucy's birthday, which is, as we record, is tomorrow.
Monday. The 3rd.
Yeah, so we were supposed to, our tradition is to go out to a place of the child's choice for dinner and, do a gift, do a cake and that sort of thing. And we're not going to be able to do that. So, poor Lucy.
She's a little sad.
She's a little sad. She had asked for, what did she ask for?
She wanted a Boston cream pie.
Right.
And my very, very kind friend from church went to 3 different stores looking for a Boston cream pie today and couldn't find one. So I'm going to have to give Lucy a rain check on the Boston cream pie and she's going to have to deal with something else as her birthday cake.
I mean, the other kids they all dealt with not being able to do things for their birthday last year. Like, because I remember,
we went out last year for Sophie's birthday, and that was the last time we went out, so we didn't go out for Bella's or Ben's birthday.
But we didn't go out for their birthdays this year either, did we? In 2021, this year. In 2021, did we go out for Anthony and Sophie's birthdays?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
I'd have to go back and look. I doubt it. Because I don't know. I have to look it up. In any case, it's frustrating. And I know lots of people have gone through the same thing and, trying to figure out how we're going to manage this because the big thing is apart from the going on trips, is the just the stuff of daily life, which is like food shopping. We go through a gallon of milk every other day. You know, how are we supposed to deal with that? Like, grocery shopping. So you did a online grocery order through our
Peapod,
which is from our local grocery store. And
I've tried Peapod many times in the past, and every time I've been
sorely disappointed, frustrated.
And this time was no different. I thought, well, I'll give them another try. I ordered.
Surely they've gotten better during the pandemic.
Right. You would think so. One of the things that frustrates me, and I should have gone with Instacart because I've been more pleased with them in the past. At least Instacart drivers will text you if they can't find the thing and offer you some substitutions.
Right.
Whereas Peapod just, even if you tell them it's okay to substitute, they just don't. They don't. So to be safe, I ordered both chicken breasts and chicken thighs, thinking, well, even if they couldn't figure out one, they would figure
surely
out
they could just grab the other.
The other. And I got neither. So I was going to make chicken soup.
So we got no meat. We didn't give us any meat.
No meat. Just a few vegetables and some dairy products.
A small acorn squash.
A tiny acorn squash. Right. A minuscule acorn squash.
And then what was the other thing they didn't get? Cream cheese.
They didn't have cream cheese, which I thought was a long shot anyway, because
it's not, because there are certain gaps, but there's always bars of cream cheese available in the store brand. So I think that's baloney. There had to be cream cheese. The other thing was, the weird thing was the half and half, because
they didn't have the small size and half, so they gave me
a half gallon,
which is fine. I'll use it. I like half, a lot of half and half.
I mean, that's a valid substitution. At least they did not give us any half and half. Right.
Right.
It's so frustrating. And like,
I know people who love pick up their groceries and order online, and they have wonderful experiences. And I have yet to have a wonderful experience.
Whole Foods
is pretty good.
It was bad. We've done Whole Foods, and that was better, because you can even in advance choose, if you don't have this, get this.
Yeah, but Peapod is like, their interface is horrible.
They're the worst.
I don't know why I'm insane enough to try them again, like to give them another chance.
Expecting different results.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe we should do a Whole Foods order next. Or, I don't know, maybe we try Instacart, whatever. But the other thing is when you order vegetables and fruit and vegetables, it's like I don't know what everyone else is getting, but you so often get terrible, like, did you not look at this fruit? It is damaged. Like, why did you pick this up? It's like they don't know how to pick fruit. That's part of the problem.
Right, which is kind of weird.
I mean, I suppose when I shop for fruits and vegetables, I actually pay a lot of attention. Like, when you're buying a navel orange, the bigger the navel on the bottom, the sweeter the orange. Does not everyone know that?
No.
I thought everybody knew that. You know, that sort of thing. So, you know, and how to pick a good lemon or lime. But when you're a picker for an online ordering thing, you're just grabbing and going. And if you don't see it right there, right in front of you, you're probably not picking it up. I think that's part of it. Anyway. Ranting and raving. Ranting! That's my complaint. Anyway. So I'm sure there will be other difficulties and indignities as we go through this. As my friend Father Chip said, like, what bad star did you fall under this year? Because
right?
It's been one thing after. But on the other hand, all of these things could have been much worse. We could have gotten COVID while we were still not in our home yet.
And while we were having to move, like, from one place to another,
right?
In a hotel room or something like that. That would have been
horrible,
worse.
Horrible, because we would have been stuck in a hotel room with no way to get food. I mean, can you imagine? That would have been the worst. Or, you know, we could have gotten the bad COVID, where we were laid out and unable to take care of ourselves. I mean, you know, our house could have burned down. I mean, there's so many ways that all of this could be much worse. So I am not resentful. And I am, in fact, very grateful that our life is.
And we could have got it before all the kids were vaccinated. So I'm really I'm really grateful that they've got at least the partial protection of.
Yes, that's the other vaccine. Thing is, we're all vaccinated. You and I are boosted. Probably the reason that Bella and Sophie and Ben have it a little worse is they don't qualify for boosters, and their shots were 6 months ago. At least the girls were.
Yeah. The girls were like in April, May.
Yeah, more than
June,
months.
Something like that.
It was more like May and June, I think.
Yeah.
Because Ben was in July. Because he didn't turn 12 until then.
Right.
In any case, that's, you know. But today is at least the celebration, the liturgical celebration of the Feast of the Epiphany.
Right.
And we've talked before about how a tradition that your family celebrates that we've imported into our family is that major gift giving happens on Epiphany, not on Christmas. Santa brings a little something, but all the big family gifts happen on Epiphany, mostly from your parents.
Right.
Most of it comes from you, which is nice. And so we had our Epiphany presents. Now, you know, if we wanted to be very strict about it, we could have waited till the 6th. But you were going away, as far as we knew, before we were planning things.
Right.
And, yeah, you might as well do it on Sunday instead of in the middle of the week.
And we're getting the Epiphany liturgy at Mass anyway, so, you know. In the past, I have opted for waiting to the 6th to open presents, mostly because, like, that was actually more conducive to when presents were arriving, et cetera. It gave me a few extra days to scramble.
Yes.
But,
flexibility.
Yeah. Flexibility. It gives you options.
This is the earliest on which Epiphany can fall liturgically.
Yes.
Because it's always the first Sunday after the first. In any case, we watched Mass on TV again, because that's what we had to do. And we watched Bishop Reed on Catholic TV, which was nice. It was a good homily. And then he did the reading of the movable feasts, the announcement of the movable feast for 2022.
I've never actually heard that done at Mass. And I kind of liked it. Like, he sort of hinted at, though he didn't explicate at length, that the announcement of the dates of all the feasts reminds us of our journey through the liturgical year. Like, we are like the Magi journeying. And.
Right.
The announcement of the feast is sort of like looking at the roadmap ahead. This is where we are going. We'll be celebrating, you know, Ash Wednesday on this day and Easter on this day. And
yeah. And I remember when I used to do the parish bulletin that I would have to on Epiphany, I would put the schedule in there for that too. Interesting. So we had Mass and then we did opening of Epiphany presents.
Right.
So what did the kids get?
Everybody got sheets because for their new beds.
That's right.
New sheets.
New beds.
The three younger ones all got Grogu sheets, the same set of sheets so that I don't have to scramble about whose is whose. Also, there's kind of a limited selection for Star Wars sheets. And those were the only really cute ones.
I had Star Wars sheets when I was a kid. In a Star Wars blanket. It was awesome. It was from the first movie, Star Wars.
I think my sister had the Star Wars sheets or my brothers. Somebody in our family had Star Wars sheets, but it wasn't me.
Uh-huh.
Then the two older girls got pretty flowery sheets.
Yep.
Because, you know, they're a little
Laura
bit old.
Laura Ashley collection. Very teen.
Isabella got, yes, some really pretty Laura Ashley flannel sheets. And Sophia got some black and white dandelion sheets that were... She's not super flowery, but these seem to be kind of a compromise between adult and
adult and child.
Pretty, but not overly floral.
That's Sophie.
Yeah,
she
likes pretty. She likes to
pretty.
Wear dresses and
yes.
stuff, but she's not flowery.
No.
And then they got some books. Anthony got He's been really wanting a cloak.
Yes.
And
Sophie
borrowing,
has one and Ben have one.
Yes, borrowing Sophie and Ben's cloaks. And so I got him one of his own. He got a red velvet cloak because the two of them have black ones. And I just thought it would be easier to distinguish rather than we're constantly doing the whose cloak is this? Is this Sophie's or Ben's?
Yes.
So I figured.
Now we know it's always going to be Anthony's.
The red one will be Anthony's.
And then he puts it on and he's taken to running around the house with his hands crooked like he's Emperor Palpatine.
It's really funny.
Yep.
He loves it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Lego sets.
My parents sent Anthony a Lego set.
Yeah, Anthony got a Lego set.
Did somebody else get a Lego set?
Bella got the bonsai tree.
Oh, that's right.
Which should be interesting. We'll see how she likes that. Anthony put his... It was the Mars
lander shuttle thing from Lego. There are no more inexpensive Star Wars Lego sets that they have not yet built. However, I'm kind of surprised we didn't follow up on this. I did mention a little while ago, there are lots of Marvel Lego sets. we could start to delve into Marvel Lego.
They did get, and they were very thrilled about this. The, you know, we've loved the Shakespeare's Star Wars series of plays, like
the books. Yeah.
Books turned, the movies turned into play scripts.
Yes.
In Shakespearean style. Well, my mom managed to find Shakespeare's Avengers, which is the Avengers.
All the four movies.
Avengers, Infinity War, and Endgame.
Age of Ultron as well.
And Age of Ultron. Yeah. Now, they've only seen the first of the three.
Four.
Of I cannot talk. They've only seen the first of those four movies. Of
Monty Python.
So Isabella read the first one today, and she's saving up the other three.
Yes.
That's where the three came from. The other three till after she's seen the movies.
Uh-huh.
But she was thrilled.
Yes.
She loves that stuff. She loves Shakespeare in general, and she's really gotten very into Marvel. And so this was the perfect geeky gift for her.
How long before they... Okay, we'll get into that. We talked about
movies. Actually, no, it was my sister who sent them.
The Avengers.
The Avengers.
Shakespeare's Avengers.
Shakespeare's Avengers, yeah.
It is very funny, and it's very well done. Very, like, it's not slapdash. It is very well crafted.
It's the same guy who does the Shakespeare Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yes, he knows how to sound like Shakespeare. He knows his Shakespeare.
It's not just like, but it's not just putting it into like Shakespearean English. It's all the allusions to the plays and the craft of it is really.
That's what I mean. He knows his Shakespeare.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's not just like all the like adding like these and thous and prithees to like, no, it's much better than that.
Much better. So, and then your mom gave me a new strap for the Oculus Quest. And battery pack. So I think she's noticed I haven't been on using it very much lately. I finally have to clear the office out so I have room to do it again. Maybe once we get the living room clear, that might be a better place. But we'll see. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once we get all this stuff out, then all the Legos will come back out and the floor will be covered in Legos. I'll have to stay in the office. Yeah. And then I got you a new pen, a new fountain.
A very nice fountain pen, which I'm doodling with right now. And a book of poetry, which is nice.
Yes.
And my gift for you is delayed, so we won't talk about that.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm 53 years old. Presents are welcome, but gift receiving is not my love language, so it doesn't bother me. That's fine. And I'm well old enough that I don't need to worry about such things. So let's move on to talk about food. Given this situation, luckily, blessedly, no one has lost sense of taste and sense of smell.
Although Bella has been complaining about weird tastes.
Well, Ben was complaining about some weird smells the other day, too. It might be a bit of the metallic thing that goes on sometimes. Yeah. Well, I mean, also, when your nose gets clogged, like when you get, you know, stuffy nose, you lose some sense of smell anyway. So
yeah,
there's a little of that anyway. But in any case, we have not been doing a lot of, you know, amazing cooking, but we did manage to make 11 bean soup and split pea soup. Now the 11 bean soup, I had been to Whole Foods. What did I go to Whole Foods for? Oh, I guess I went to Whole Foods to get the soup, right?
Yeah.
You had been to the grocery store. They didn't have multi bean soup.
Yeah, they had hardly any dried beans. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, well, and Whole Foods had them all, so they had this package of 11 bean soup. So it's a package. I don't know if everybody knows this. It's like a package that's got all kinds of different dried beans in it. And what else is in it? Just the beans?
Sometimes
is there like a spice package?
Usually a spice package. I often omit the spice package and add my own spices. So
yeah,
I kind of ignore that. Bella really loves it. It's like her favorite soup. And so when I have a ham bone, I really like to make 11 bean, 15 bean, whatever, multi bean soup. It's yummy.
But this time you put the ham bone in, but you didn't put the ham in.
I forgot to grab the ham out of the freezer. But I put some sausage in it.
We had leftover Italian sausage in the freezer, cooked Italian fried sausage.
A combination of Italian and bratwurst, actually.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. Yeah. It was good. It was really, I mean, it was really good. It was one of the best soups we've had in a long time.
I spent a lot of time doctoring that soup. It had, in addition to being cooked with the ham bone, it had like tomato paste and chicken, a little bit of bouillon and lots of spices. I put like a little bit of curry powder in there, a little bit of shawarma seasoning. It was kind of like kicked up soup.
That soup went around the world.
It did. And a lot of wine, like maybe a good 2 cups of wine.
What kind of wine? It was
like
white?
Like a Riesling or Chardonnay or whatever the heck it was that was sitting on the counter.
Okay.
And then I finished it off with some lemon juice and cider and malt vinegar.
Cider vinegar and malt vinegar.
Yeah, like to get those sharp, bright notes. You want an acid, and I've been experimenting with not just one kind of vinegar, but multi kinds to get different notes, like a more complex flavor.
Okay.
I think it worked pretty well.
I think it worked. I mean, like I said, it was one of the best soups I've had in a long time. It was really good.
I'm trying to remember what else I did. There's something else I did. I don't know. It was it was good.
We'll call it COVID brain because like everyone does, and we'll just move on.
Right.
It's not just being. Yeah. Tired.
The Swampy soup was only okay.
It was okay. Well, I think I'm chasing the split pea soup of my childhood that I used to get at the Magic Pan. I must have talked about the Magic Pan before on this podcast, and so I apologize if you're hearing this again. The Magic Pan was a restaurant chain in the Northeast. I think it went beyond Boston. I think it went as far as Philadelphia, in fact. I've looked it up online. And it was a crepe restaurant. This is very 80s, right? So you go in and you...
Creperie.
But, you know, I used to get... my favorite dish was the beef bourguignon crepe. And so the beef bourguignon. But they also sold spinach salad, which I thought was amazing. Like, I'd never had anything like that. This was amazing. And because the dressing was really cool. And they had split pea soup. And it was this wonderful, thick... split pea soup, but it wasn't just like congealed. It was like thick and full of flavor. Like this, it was full of the pea flavor. You know, it was
right.
It was very green, and it was served with sour cream and a splash of sherry. I distinctly remember that, and I've been trying to capture that ever since. And the split pea soups we make are never quite that. And maybe I need to do a little more research on how, because we generally just make split pea soup and we go from there. But maybe I need to do some more serious research and say, how do I make a better split pea soup?
Oh, one thing I did add, remember about the 15 bean soup?
Yeah.
We had some leftover mashed potatoes.
Oh, right.
And I threw those in addition to like chopping up some russet potatoes that, I think the mashed potatoes added a creaminess. They were like a very creamy mashed potato with lots and lots of heavy cream and butter.
Right. We'd had mashed potatoes when we made the ham the week before, right? Or a few days before, whatever. Those were left over from that.
Were they from the ham? I have no idea.
Yeah. In any case.
I think those added like that creaminess, which.
Yep.
Yeah. This split pea soup, I think, could have used some mashed potatoes.
That might have been an interesting addition, actually. Not just mentioned. It's like mashed potatoes with the cream and the...
Yeah, I had eaten the little bits of mashed potatoes that were left, though, for lunch, so that was not an option.
But if there's no leftover mashed potatoes next time we make it, maybe we could think about things like cooking up a potato and blending it with an immersion blender with some cream or sour cream and mixing that into the soup.
Maybe.
While it cooks. That would be an interesting addition. Huh. We'll have to think about that. Okay. Well, so that's what we've been cooking. Who knows what's going to be cooking this week?
Not much.
Not much. Probably some soups. We'll go with that. Well, maybe we can order like Uber Eats some pho or something, you know, get some nice hot pho. Yeah. Pho. Sorry, I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, but yeah, that's where we were going to go anyway. That's where Lucy likes. That's her favorite restaurant is the pho restaurant. Okay, so let's move on from food and talk about what we've been... Well, really, it's what we've been watching, because I don't think I'm still working on my book.
I'm still working on my reread of the Thrawn books.
Right. So
I'm boring.
So let's talk about what we've been watching. So the big thing that started this week is the Book of Boba Fett.
Now,
if you want to hear in-depth nerdy take on this. The Secrets of Star Wars is your podcast from SQPN, sqpn.com/Star Wars. And this week they're talking about that. So in fact, that episode will have dropped today, but we all watched it. The kids, we had been anticipating this greatly since the end of season two of The Mandalorian. Right. And so what'd you think?
I thought it was way too short.
It was like a half hour.
Seriously. Like, where was the rest of the story? No, I mean, I what was there, I loved. It was interesting. It made me like want more. Leave them wanting more is not bad.
Yep.
So we get a Boba whose motivations aren't entirely clear yet.
Right.
And I like that. I knew some people online were complaining about, like, it didn't make any sense. You're left with so many questions. I'm like, okay, but a first episode that doesn't leave you with questions doesn't seem to me to be a very good episode. Like, the first episode of The Mandalorian left us with a lot of questions, and a lot of people were complaining about that. Like, well, it didn't explain this, and it didn't explain that, and it didn't explain that one. Of course not. That's what you've got a whole season to explain all those things.
Right.
And I felt like Book of Boba was the same. Like, yes, I was left with even more questions than I had before I watched it. But to me,
One of the complaints was the lack of recognizable motivation. I'm not sure I get that complaint. I mean, why does Boba want to take over Jabba's, his criminal organization? Because he's a criminal? Maybe there's something else there that we're bound to find out later. But
I think that there is. I think that motivation is going to be a key part in the series. I think that why Boba is doing what he's doing and the way he's doing it is going to be important. I mean, I think they made that clear. He's doing things differently than how Jabba did it, and differently than you might have expected him from what we know of Boba in the past.
Little we know of Boba.
But we don't know. I mean, the fact is that going in, I'm like, what is this show going to be about? Because Boba's kind of a cipher. Like, he's a bounty hunter. He's tough. But we don't actually know much about him as a person.
Right.
And I felt like this episode raised more questions. It didn't necessarily satisfy me with lots of answers. But I felt like it's laying the groundwork to answer some of those questions eventually, which is good.
Yes.
And I'm very intrigued by what his relationship with Fennec is going to turn out to be. And I'm hoping that that's going to grow into something even more interesting.
Well, I'm also intrigued by the Tusken Raiders and his connection to them.
Yes.
And how that develops, especially given how the Mandalorian also seemed to have an affinity to the Tusken Raiders.
Yeah, like the Tuskens are starting to be depicted not as just like kind of scary creatures of the desert, but as people with relationships and motivations and a language and a culture. And that was actually kind of interesting to me, too.
Not just animal like savages, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I like the development of the Tuskens into something more.
Well, I mean, the difficulty is they're faceless. You know, because they have the facial wrappings, and so it's easy to other them, to, you know, turn them into monsters. But in a way, that was the thing with the Mandalorians, too, right? Because they had the helmets. I like that they humanize them in a sense.
Right.
Yeah. So that's good.
I think it's going to be a great show, and I'm looking forward to seeing where the story goes.
Well, I want to see also, it's the Mandoverse. They're building a set of interrelated, interconnected series that are telling a unified story between The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, Ahsoka, and what am I missing? There's one other one I'm missing. There's one other series that's coming. I can't think of it right now.
Rangers one?
The Republic Rangers, which is not certain that's still coming, would be another one. In any case, they're telling a unified story.
Right. I mean, we just don't really see yet how the Book of Boba is tying in, although we saw Boba Fett in The Mandalorian.
Right. And we may yet see The Mandalorian in the Book of Boba Fett.
That would be okay with me.
That would blow people's minds, that's for sure.
I would be very happy to see Dinjar in again.
I kind of hope we see Grogu, but I know we won't.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss him.
I think everybody misses Grogu, but...
Yes.
I mean, this is controversial, but
I think he's done.
I think the character... Well, he needs to, like, find a voice and become more than he is, and I'm not sure if that wouldn't ruin the cuteness factor. Like, a Grogu who is not a cute little toddler, but a person who is learning to use the Force and who has a voice, would he be as good a character?
If he's still childlike? Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like, teen Groot.
See, I think that was a gag, but see, Groot is almost a gag.
Yes.
Whereas Grogu is more than just a gag. Like,
no.
Groot is a punchline. I am Groot. It's funny.
Yes.
But there's no characterization there, really. And I guess I want Grogu to not become a punchline.
Which is why it's so funny that Vin Diesel is credited as Groot, as like the person playing Groot. Like, there's nothing to Groot. There's no acting involved, which is supremely funny because this Vin Diesel's the perfect person for the role. So, I like Vin for what he does. And he's character in the Fast and the Furious is named Dominic. So what's not to love?
Uh-huh.
Any case. So we watched Book of Boba. We're looking forward to the rest of the series. I watched James Bond, the latest James Bond movie, No Time to Die. And it's the final Bond appearance for Daniel Craig. It was a long movie. And it's interesting that with the Daniel Craig Bond, unlike with any of the other Bonds, they had a complete beginning, middle, end with his movies. In the first movie, Casino Royale, he's a new agent just starting. In this one, he's at the end. In fact, he starts out, he's retired. In fact, the last three movies, he starts the movie retired. Uh-huh. It's kind of a bit of a cliche that they probably shouldn't have done.
A very long retirement.
Well, he just keeps coming back.
We need you for one last job.
I
haven't seen any of these, but it sounds totally cliche.
Yeah, it is kind of cliche. I mean, he does a good job. And there's lots to like about it. There are elements of the movie. There's he becomes much more humanized in this one. He's mm-hmm. The character is more relatable, and his motivations are more relatable for me anyway. The villains were flat and frankly uninteresting. Like the Rami Malek villain was just boring. Like, if you've seen, it's like cartoonish, hardly there, worth, there's not much to it. That said, there's a few controversial points. There's a female 007. So because he's retired, they've given his number to another agent. And it's this black woman. And so there was a big deal like made about, are they doing one of those things where they're taking this male character and just changing it to a female character, like Doctor Who, like, you know, other things like that, where they've
Ghostbusters,
etc. So that's not what they did here. I mean, she's just the next agent, right? Like, who's the 007. Although, to be honest, she's nowhere near as good as Bond was. So I'm not sure what makes her a 00 agent. Bond was clearly outmatching her in all ways because he's the main character. So, I mean, if I were to rank it, against the others, I would say that Skyfall still is the best Daniel Craig Bond. This is somewhere up there. It's better than Quantum of Solace, which was not that good. Casino Royale still holds up, but it's probably better than this one. But this is middling, I would say, among the Daniel Craig Bonds. I kind of hope they go back to the... I know they won't, but if I had my druthers, they would go back to the Bond, the less gritty, angry, gruff Bond that Daniel Craig had, which, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I think it's time to go back to the more classic Connery, more
polished, classy, cultivated,
yeah,
gentleman, yeah, spy.
Pierce Brosnan Bond, you know? I prefer that style, but we're never going to get that back because it's seen as outdated and anachronistic, and they were problematic, and et cetera, et cetera. Which is too bad. Which means they're probably going to kill the Golden Goose. In any case. So that was No Time to Die. And then, speaking of Marvel, we are continuing to work our way through the Marvel Cinematic Universe with the kids.
We are. We watched two Marvel movies this week because we had, well, the holiday and...
Yes, New Year's Day.
So on New Year's Day, we watched Iron Man... No. Yeah, we watched Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Which was... That is my favorite of the Iron Man movies. And I said that the first time through, and watching it again a second time, it continues to be my favorite of the Iron Man
movies. It's kind of funny that you say that, because that's not a popular opinion that is the best.
I think that in terms of characterization of Tony, I think that this is Tony's, like, real turnaround. Like, he has a little bit of a turnaround, you know, obviously in the first one, he decides to, you know, turn his back on, like, making weapons, but he's still kind of weapons.
He's still kind of in himself. He's still all about himself. He's still super ego.
Yeah. And that gets stripped away a little bit more in the second one and in a little bit more in the Avengers. But what I really like about this Iron Man is he's dealing with the PTSD, like really dealing with it. And I love the way they use the suits. I think I said this the first time I watched it. I love the way they use the suit as a visual metaphor for Tony being beaten up, dragged around.
Right.
Shutting down. Like, he shuts down and the suits shut down. And there's this great, and I love the way the boy he meets kind of narrates that to him.
Right.
And, okay, and then the other thing I really love is I love that Pepper gets some agency, like real superhero, badass kicking the bad guy agency in this movie. I mean, it starts at the first, in the beginning of the movie, he puts the suit on her, but the suit's almost wearing Pepper.
Yes.
But in the final scene, that final fight scene, when she grabs the gauntlet, the suit is no longer wearing her. She's wearing the suit. And it's not like she's going to take over the Iron Man persona or character. She, in fact, in the later movies, does not go back to, like, rough and tumble fighting.
Well, until the very end.
Well, but it's not like, this is not who she is.
Right, she's not a new superhero.
She's not a new superhero. But it shows that she can hold her own in Tony's world, which I don't think that you've quite felt before in the previous Iron Man movies. Like, she's kind of, it almost feels at the beginning, she's running the company, like, air quotes, because Tony wants to give her something. Whereas it feels like by Iron Man 3, this is no longer just something he's given her. She's earned her place by his side. She's earned her role, both running Stark Enterprises and being Tony's girl and just generally being a great, strong character. I really like Pepper in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, she's no longer just his gal Friday, but has her own place. I can see your point. I mean, one of the best parts for me was when him and the kid, that part.
Yeah, I love the kid. Like, it's kind of Tony revisiting his childhood and remembering what makes him who he is.
But it's also anti-sappy. Like, it turns all the tropes on their head. He's kind of, like, rude to the kid, and the kid is, like, not playing the game, you know?
But and there's a little bit of the kid is kind of like Tony. He tries to manipulate him. Tony sees through it. The kid says it was worth a shot. I love that comeback. Like, he can take he's a little bit hurt by Tony being rude to him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he can kind of take it.
Yeah.
Like, I like that back and forth. Like, the kid, he does have some agency. He's not just a foil for Tony, but he's a fully developed character. I feel like he's got a personhood.
Would have been nice to see him more in later movies.
It would have been, yeah.
It's interesting that this is the last Iron Man movie. There are no more Iron Man movies.
Right.
This is the seventh movie, and we're up to 32 movies and series, and there are and even in the future, dozen or so, there's no future Iron Man. So,
right. In a way, this is, I mean, I know Tony has his future resolution in the
Endgame. Right. And he has more development in Civil War.
Right. But I feel like this third Iron Man does bring his story to not exactly a conclusion, but there's a satisfying sort of coming to the end of a story arc, at least, that I feel like it developed over the three Iron Man movies. And this felt very much like that third movie that gave you the very satisfying finish.
This was a trilogy and it told a complete story.
Yes, there was a complete story. And that finished that last scene. It totally got me again. I love it.
Yep.
And then today we watched Thor Dark World, which you had said you did not like the first time through.
No, I didn't. And it's universally regarded as the worst of the MCU movies. The least, which doesn't mean it's a terrible movie, but when people rank these movies, we're up to over, like I said, 30 of them now or so, people rank this one the lowest. And some of it has to do with all of the myth and the very deep, you know, Norse, dark elves, all that stuff like that. When I first saw it, it was kind of confusing.
There's a lot going on, and I missed a lot of stuff the first time I saw it. I felt like I got a lot more of the stuff that went by really quick the first time, and it made more sense the second watching.
It's certainly, this is only the second time I've watched it myself. I've never watched it again before. And in retrospect, having seen all the way through Endgame.
Right, that too. There's a lot more that I caught I don't think if I'd watched it like twice without having seen the full story arc, I would have caught as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're setting up a lot of stuff for the later movies.
Right. Right. There's the second Infinity Stone, you know, all of that.
And I have to say, I do love the Thor-Loki relationship here. It's fun.
Right. Especially the prison break part of it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And watching it with the kids was fun because they really got into Loki. They really enjoyed the interplay between Thor and Loki.
Well, I kept thinking, wait till they see the Loki series.
And it was fun to watch. Like, they really got into, they loved the battle sequences, which, frankly, I kind of snoozed through the first time. Watching it with the kids, it was less boring and more exciting. Like, they get so into it.
Right. Well, and they're seeing stuff and they're pointing things out and they're, it's much more interesting. I am a little worried. I think, and just in case any of the kids listen to this episode, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's something coming. And I don't want them to get too upset about it. But it's coming. So we'll have to see how that goes. They're going to love Thor Ragnarok, though. Like, I cannot wait to watch Thor Ragnarok with them because they are going to lose their minds because it is so fun.
Yeah, they've embraced Thor a lot. I mean, they like Tony, too.
Yeah. So the next one is Winter Soldier. And man, like, they keep
Winter Soldier is darker.
But, well, yeah. Although, again, universally regarded as the best Marvel movie.
I'm curious to see that one again because I frankly did not really love it
the
first time through.
But the whole, like, Hydra thing is a little hard to...
Yeah. I think maybe, like, knowing where the characters are going from here, I might enjoy it better the second time through.
Right. It goes...
Knowing what happens with Bucky and Cap and their relationship and
the whole Hydra reveals itself, blows up S.H.I.E.L.D., then Ultron shows up, and Tony is all freaked out and needs to stop, you know, and Ultron shows up because of Tony's obsessive need to save the world. And all this stuff, you know, coming around and culminating in Infinity War and Endgame. I mean, it is really a masterful story to tell the story through all of these movies over the course of this period of time. And in what is a really brief period of time, you have these gigantic movies with huge casts.
I have to say, it is, from a storytelling perspective, it is a pretty good I mean, it's a great accomplishment.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is a lot more coherent than I expected it to be when I first started watching them. Like, I did not expect such a competent series. Like, with one overarching story.
Okay, so in the course of from 2013, so post Avengers to Avengers Endgame, so from Iron Man 3 to Avengers Endgame, that's 6 years. They do 16 movies.
That's a lot of movies.
That was a lot of movies. And each in all the movies make big bucks. I mean, that's just, but they're also just big stories. It's pretty remarkable.
It's going to be interesting to watch our way through with the kids.
I'm really looking forward to watching with them. I want to watch more often.
I know one a week is about what we're averaging. I think that that's fairly reasonable in terms of like everything else that we have.
Occasionally when circumstances present, we can find something else to throw in there and do that. But, you know, we could throw another one in occasionally. So we'll see how it goes. All right. I think we've been talking for about 50 minutes, so we need to...
And I'm getting tired.
Yeah, we're kind of both wiped out, so we need to bring things to a close. We don't really have much energy to talk about Epiphany, and we didn't get to go to Mass. We watched Mass on Catholic TV, which was nice, but frankly, I'm worn out.
Yeah.
So let me take a moment here to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create Raising the Bets, including John P., Ann F., Kenneth L., Audra B., and Mitchell N. Their generous donations at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue Raising the Bets and all the shows at StarQuest. You can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. And I want to thank everyone who became a patron and gave, you know, either became a patron or gave a gift to StarQuest at the end of 2021 when we were doing our Advent campaign. We really appreciate it, and it helps us. It does really help us keep things going here. We really wouldn't be here without that. So that's it from us. What did you think of our discussion? You can comment at sqpn.com/bets. That's B-E-T-T-S. Or the SQPN Facebook page, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. Or send an email to bets@sqpn.com. Relevant links for our discussion are in our show notes at sqpn.com. We would really appreciate it if you could write a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you can write reviews of podcasts, and share the podcast with your friends to help us grow this community of listeners. Until next time, I'm Dom Bethanelli.
And I'm Melanie Bethanelli.
Thank you for listening to Raising the Bets on StarQuest.